later to watch the recording, video this morning, or listen online to the recording. Listen to these words this morning from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy, rejoicing comes in the morning. I invite you to stand with us as we enter into worship. Today's offering is going for the Pastoral Support Fund, and also the children may come up with their coins for My Coins Count.
You are my everything, and I will adore you. Let us pray.
Father God, we thank you that we can come together and worship you. For we know you are the true and living God. You are the only one worthy of our worship and praise. We offer it to you. The only thing you want from us is us, fully committed, loving you, living a life that pleases you, and showing your love and light to those around us. We thank you for this time. We also thank you for the provisions you have given us, and we offer back but a portion to you for the service of the church. Bless the pastors, bless all those who serve. We thank you for this time, and we continue to ask for your blessing here, and we lift up Flowing Waters and the ministry there. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You can stay standing, but at this time, if there's any children here, they can come front. We're going to try something different, and I apologize. Every time I get up here, we do something different, so just get used to it.
Hey, Rick, I'm a 53-year-old kid.
And if there's not any kids, we're not going to pressure. What we were going to do was there's two songs that we're going to end up singing. And sometimes there's all kinds of ways to worship God. And we were just going to have, in the chorus of these two songs, have the kids just wave a flag up front here, just as not as a, something to be looked at, or just as is something to do this morning for the kids. So if the kids want to come front, they can. If they don't want to, you guys aren't getting a snack. But... If the kids don't want it, that's fine. If you want to, just even as we're singing the songs, you can come up. If the kids then just stay here, the songs aren't back to back. So just stay up here. If you want to come front anytime, kids, just stay up here till the end of we're singing. So thanks, and just watch Donna. She knows what's going on.
Lord, you have taken my heart made out of stone. Create this heart of flesh to be your very own. And my desire is to do just what you plan. By your grace I am what I am. Church is to express your love.
Thank you.
a hymn to fire up the troops, fire up the nation back through back during the Civil War. And so it's an old song. But as I was practicing this, it really jumped out at me how it is still relevant, and maybe even more so today. I just want to pay particular attention to verses 3 and 4 as we sing them, just as we are going into spiritual battle. They are words that can really lead us as the Lord leads us.
Just would like to give a little prayer for you guys for being up here and being great kids and waving your flags and just having a fun time. So let me just pray for you a little bit. Father, we thank you for the children in this congregation. Thank you that they are not scared to come front here and are willing to participate. And Father, I thank you that we can come before you any style of worship. And you take the honor and glory for whatever we do here, Father. So I just pray a special blessing on the children here this morning. May you guide their steps, and may they learn, as the song that we just sang, may they learn to trust in you as they walk on this earth and experience the life-giving joy and safety and protection that you give each one of us. So we thank you and praise you for them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Hopefully you're all doing good. It doesn't look like it's raining quite as much as they said it was going to anyway, so it'd be nice to actually see some sun this morning. Before I get started this morning, I just want to let you know, August 1st, we are going to have a prayer walk for the community that is going to go along with the community fun days that we're going to have August 6th, 7th, and 8th. If that is something you're interested in, I know we're getting together at 4 o'clock. I forget. Are we meeting here at the park? Here? The park. So, yeah, if you're interested, come out to the park at 4 o'clock, and we can give you instructions from there. And next Sunday evening, also if you're interested, is the Holy Spirit Fellowship evening. We get together right here at 6 o'clock, so keep that in mind as well. But what I want to talk about this morning are the promises God has made for our lives. Think about it like this. Before we actually have faith in Christ, we are slaves living in exile. If you combine when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and when they were in exile in Babylon, that is honestly where we are before we know Christ. Today, what we're going to really focus on is the exile part of it. We're going to look at our lives like we just came out of exile and we just came back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the promised land, or our promised life. Realize when the Israelites came out of exile and they went back to Jerusalem, that city was completely destroyed. That is where we are when we put our faith in Christ. We have a destroyed life that needs to be rebuilt. If you look at the book of Nehemiah, he made plans to rebuild the city, and all the Israelites worked together, and they made it happen. That's exactly what we need. We need people in our lives to help us rebuild our lives and make it happen. But what we need to realize is in the story of Nehemiah and in our own lives, it's actually God. God's making it all happen. When we put our faith in Christ, like I just said, our lives are a mess. But God promises to rebuild our lives. It may feel like we do it, but it's us allowing God to rebuild our lives. So, what we're going to look at this morning is the book of Ezekiel. We're going to start chapter 36, and as it says right there, it's going to be verse 24. What I'm going to do real quick is just read verses 18 to 20, just to give you a basic idea of what's going on. This was before the exile happened. This is just what the prophet Ezekiel is telling the Israelites is coming and to prepare for. So In chapter 36, verse 18, I'm just going to look at these two verses, 18 to 20. It says, "So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land, and because they had defiled it, and they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said to them, 'These are the Lord's people, and yet they have to leave his land.'" They did a lot of things that they were not supposed to do. So they were more or less kicked out of the promised land, and they got to go into exile, and they got to experience a lot of fun things while they were going through that. But this, what I want to look at, starting right here in verse 24, are the promises that God gave to the Israelites. These are the same promises God gives to us for our life. When the Israelites were coming out of exile, this is what God tells them he's going to do. First, right here in verse 24, he says, "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land." If you read Nehemiah, the first gate in the wall of Jerusalem that they rebuilt, it's called the Sheep Gate. The Sheep Gate is where they brought the sheep through to be sacrificed. Christ is our Sheep Gate. When we put our faith into Christ, we walk through the Sheep Gate. That is our entrance into our promised life. I'm getting ahead of myself, apparently. But when we enter that promised land or that promised life, we are brought out of the world and we are separated from the ways of the world. And now we can actually follow the ways of God. We can only do that through Christ. We can try as hard as we want on our own, and it is not going to happen. We cannot follow the ways of God on our own. It's impossible. We can follow the ways of the world in a heartbeat. Following the ways of God is a struggle, but that's what Christ does for us. And that's what this first verse is saying. I'm going to bring you out of this land and bring you into my land, bring you into my life, the life I have for you. Let's see if I can actually work this thing. Wow. All right. It worked. So now if you look at the next verse, is 25. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols." Now that we are separated from the world, he can cleanse us and remove things from our lives that are more important than he is. Anything that is more important than God becomes our God. That becomes our idol. But God will cleanse us and he will remove these things from our lives so we can focus on him. That's incredible. And then verse 26 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." I don't know if you noticed this morning, but I think we sang like three songs roughly that had something to do with having a new heart. I don't know if those guys planned it, but I didn't. I didn't really talk to them about it or anything. I got here this morning at 8 o'clock and they started playing the songs, and I was like, wow, they have like three songs that have to do with the changing of a heart. That's a good thing because that's a big deal. Having a heart of stone, which is exactly what we have before we know Christ, when you have a heart of stone, everything that's in it is trapped. You can't put anything else in it. You can't let anything else go. It's all just there. When God gives you a heart of flesh, now you can give all that junk over to Him, and He can put new things into you. It's not all just trapped there anymore. And He gives you the desire to live. Guess what? That's a new spirit. That's a whole new way to look at things. I know all about it. Before I knew Christ, you just kind of went with, yeah, whatever's going to happen, happens. It doesn't really matter. So be it. As long as I can do what I want at the end of the day. But when you get that new spirit, you actually want to live. You want to do things. And that there's no other feeling like that. I shouldn't say that. When the Holy Spirit fills you up completely, there's no other feeling like that. But just having a new spirit in life and wanting to live, it's amazing. And that's all in the new heart and new spirit. We're going to look at 27 and 28. The Lord says, "And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God." So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have the desire to live by God's ways. When we want to live by God's ways, we are His, and He is ours. We want to do what He wants us to do, and He will give us the ability to do it. It sounds very simple. We'll go here to 29. "I will save you from your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you." God will continue to cleanse us and give us the things we need. Not want. The things we need. Things like food. We need food. He will give us that. Does that mean that we are going to have some humongous amount and we can eat like a Thanksgiving meal at every meal we want to eat? No. But He will give us that amount that we need at that time. We can't ask for more. There's many things we want that we don't get. But it's probably for the better most of the time. And I know all too much about that. There's many things I want I don't get. And then I look back on it later and go, it's probably better I didn't get that. So, but you always get what you need. Remember that. Don't ever be afraid to ask. God knows what you need. Then 30, "I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine." Understand fully that God wants us to stand out from all other people. The more we stand out, the more we stand out, the more people will want what we have. And that will bring people to God. Yeah. So, 31 and 32. "Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, people of Israel." Honestly, God's still saying that to us to this very day. We need to remember we are evil. The only good that is in us is what comes from God. And we need to remember that. God puts that good inside of us. We can never forget that. Now, I'm just going to read the rest of this. This is verses 33 to 36. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, "This land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited." Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. We have to remember we are no better than anyone else, but we have Jesus. We become God's shining lights, not because of what we do, but because of Christ. We focus on Christ, and He makes us a shining light. And after we are cleansed of our sin, God rebuilds us, our lives. Then those people around us, those nations that God says here, He says nations, but just on our daily, in our daily life, the people around us, they will see how different we are, and they will want that. We go from being completely destroyed to being perfect. It says right here, whatever that is, verse 35, they will say, "This land was laid waste and has become like the Garden of Eden." That's us. That is our life. Our life is destroyed. And then when Christ's blood comes over us, when we put our faith in Christ and Christ's blood covers us, we become like the Garden of Eden. We are perfect. Are we perfect in every single action we make? Are we perfect in every choice we do? Are we perfect in every thought we have? No. But because of Christ and what He did and our faith in Him, God sees us as perfect. And there is nothing more amazing than that. For us to receive these gifts, we have to enter into God's gate. And that's Christ. We put our faith in Christ, we enter into God's gate. Psalms 104 says, "Enter God's gate with thanksgiving." So we need to be thankful for this new life that we have and every step that we are going to take. Just be thankful. Life can be tough. Usually it's tough, but God takes us on a journey. And we just need to be thankful for the steps He takes us on. Not for the steps that we take. We make some really, honestly, stupid choices. I mean, you guys do. I'm pretty good at the choices I make personally, but yeah. No, we make a lot of stupid choices, and those choices have crazy consequences to them. But God will get us out of all these situations, and we need to be thankful for those things. Now, the big thing I want you to understand is when we enter God's gate, the biggest thing we're doing is we are walking away from Satan himself. Satan wants you in his grasp. So what he wants to do is he wants to steal every free gift God promises us. God's free gifts, that gives us a better life. Satan doesn't want you to have a better life, or he loses his power over you. Think about this. One of God's promises is peace. God promises to give us peace. That is inner peace. So even when we are going through a rough time, we know it's going to be okay. God will get us out of it. But we are human, and one of the good things we're doing, good at doing, if I can talk, it'll be helpful too, but we're really good at forgetting. So we have this inner peace, and we can go through a tough time and be like, man, yeah, it's all going to work out. It's going to be okay. Then the next time something happens, we just fall apart. Something bad happens, and all of a sudden, life is horrible, and now what do I do? And wow, my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we just fall to pieces. That is Satan stealing our peace. Then what he does is he comes back and tries to sell us a counterfeit version of peace. The only thing we have to buy these counterfeit versions, the only thing we have to buy them those counterfeit versions with are God's free gifts. Another one of God's gifts that he promises is he promises to build us up. He makes us feel like we're not worthless, we're useful. He builds us up, he gives us a purpose. When we sell that building up promise, we sell that to Satan when we buy his version of peace. That's why we feel so torn down when we realize we just gave in to one of Satan's temptations. Every gift God gives us, Satan either wants to steal from us or sell us a counterfeit version. But thankfully, we have Jesus. So what I want you to do now is turn to Mark chapter 11. We're just going to look at two verses. We're going to look at verses 15 to 17. Where what it says here is, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables on the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Each and every single one of us, we are the temple of God. Wherever God's presence dwells is his temple. We have that Holy Spirit inside of us. We are his temple. Do you know what that means? We have Jesus inside of us driving out those money changers, those buyers and sellers, and getting rid of all those counterfeit offerings. It says that they were making counterfeit offerings. They weren't going out and getting that perfect offering to give to God. They were just buying it from somebody and giving it to them. We do the same things. We try to kind of make excuses and I'll offer this to God. God's not looking for us to offer him anything except ourselves. He just wants us. That's it. Once he has us and we are willing to give our lives to him, he can do so much for us. And when he does things for us, it affects the people around us. And then they will give their lives, and that's what matters. I lost my spot because I got a little carried away, so yeah. Yeah. The counterfeit offerings is we are trying to give things to God that are counterfeit. That is things that Satan sold to us. Satan gives us these things, sells us things, ideas. And then we're like, well, I'll offer that to God. That'll be a good thing. That's what, there's these different ideas and different sects of Christianity, different religious things that we offer to God. That's honestly things that Satan gives as an idea. Just the more you put in the church offering plate, the better. That makes you a better Christian. No. It helps, and it's great. And giving tithes to God is awesome. God gives you something, you give something back. Does that mean that, well, God gave me a nice chunk of money and I should give $1 million to the church? You can, if you want to, but that has to come from what you want to do. If there isn't a want, if there's more of a, well, I should do that for the church because, well, people are going to look down on me really badly and I'm going to, no, not be that good Christian I should be, and, well, I am feeling pressured and I should probably do that. No, it should be, God gave me a gift and I want to give something back. Boom, that's it. That's an offering. God gave us a gift. Whether you feel like it all the time or not, life is a gift. It's a free gift from God. All we have to do is offer that back to Him. Offer your life back to Him. When we, yeah, I already read that part, so let me skip over that. But Satan and his demons are constantly trying to steal, buy, and sell us everything that goes against what God promises to give us for free. God gives us his free promises. Satan wants to come in and take them away and then give us just a little bit different of a version. It started since the very beginning. You really can't eat from that tree? Are you sure? That's the counterfeit version of what God said. Satan does it to this very day. Every single promise God makes, Satan has just a little bit different of a version. Now, please understand, this is just how things are. We can't change these things. But what we can do is ask God for more help and grow closer to Him. Be honest with our brothers and sisters in Christ and ask for help from them. We need to help each other, not condemn each other, but help each other. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up. Then you can do anything, and Satan can't stop you. After you have had an amazing experience with the Holy Spirit, Satan will try to steal your joy and peace, and he will throw all kinds of stuff at you. But turn to God and ask for help, and then praise his name. When you have these moments, if you've had these moments, and I pray you haven't, if you haven't had it, I pray you have it. When you have a moment with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit just fills you up and you just want to pretty much just dance and sing and praise God and do, there's just these amazing feelings. The next morning you wake up and you're in a really good mood and things are like, you're just ready to go and you get to work and every single thing that can go wrong goes wrong and everybody's in a bad mood and everything you can possibly imagine comes at you because Satan doesn't want you to feel that way. And your day goes downhill real fast. And not that I've ever had the experience, I've just heard people talk about it, but I've had so many Mondays, Mondays and, who am I kidding? I've had days throughout the whole week. You have a really good experience the night before, and the next day, Satan just pretty much smacks you across the face and just pulls you down as hard as he can. The question is, do you just say, all right, that's how it is? Or do you turn and say, Father, help me. What do I need to do? How can I get out of this? Who should I turn to? Who should I ask? Who should I call? What's the next step? God will always give you an answer. So that's what I want you to just think about this morning. What I want you to do right now, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up. We're going to have a morning. I want us to have an experience this morning, to just have that moment of allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us up and praise the name of God. Think about everything that Jesus has done for us. You know, I just said that, and I'm going to take it right back, because you can't think about everything Jesus has done for you. What I want you to do is think about the moments that stick out. Think about this morning. We've just had a really good morning, to be quite honest. It's been a good morning. It's actually sunny. It's supposed to be rainy. That's a blessing in itself. What I want you to just, I just want you to allow God to do these things. That's all we need to do. We're so good at, I can do it. Somehow or another, I can figure it out. I can make it. I can make it work. I can make a good day for myself. Now, open up your heart and allow God to do it. We're just going to ask him this morning to do this. So what I'm going to do is I am going to invite the worship team, Jeff, Rick, Daryl, Colin, whoever else. We don't invite them back up, but I want you guys to think about, there was only two kids up here this morning. But they didn't care. They were having fun with these ribbons just running back and forth. This is all we need to do. Open up our hearts, let the Holy Spirit flow, and praise God. So I want us, just invite the Holy Spirit in, open your hearts, and ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and we're going to sing out loud and praise the name of Jesus. But I'm going to have a prayer, and then we'll get started. So if you would just pray with me. Father, this morning we asked that you fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. And I ask that you fill this whole room with your Holy Spirit. Help us focus on you. We're not going to worry about the rest of the people in this room. We're going to focus directly on you. And we're going to thank you and praise you for the things that you have done for us and the amazing things you've done to change our lives. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And now we're going to take all that stuff that we have inside of us, and we're going to let it come out through our throat, out of our mouth, which our mouth is a gate. And we're going to let all those praises come out, and we are just going to thank you and praise you, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Gentlemen, go for it.
If you would stand, too. Sorry.
We're going to go back and sing Jubilation Celebration. I sense this is breaking out of our plans a little bit, what Brian was wanting here.
It all works for me.
Let's do that.
Lord, you have created his heart and flesh.
August 6th, 7th, and 8th is when we are planning our community family fun day out at Bonesville Park. You've been hearing about it. There's going to be flyers posted everywhere. And I see Lamar and Kara are here. There, we are going to be supporting them with this also through YWAM. And so one of the things I will ask is you guys were very generous with food when we did June 5 Music in the Park. I'm not asking for food. We're allowing the fire companies and some of the fire companies, Bowmanville and Five Pointville, to be able to make the proceeds off of what we're doing. This is all a free event, except for the food. They will get the proceeds. But what I would ask you to pray about is we are in need of maybe some people to help with the prayer tent, maybe help with some of the games as being a watchdog or supervisor, or helping to make sure things don't get out of hand, that somehow we have a big brawl or something. So we do have some needs. If there's anything that you would feel like God is calling you to help out with, talk to myself or Brian, Larry Weber, or Tony Whitmer, and we can help you fit in somewhere. So,
I just want to give my testimony about Flowing Waters, the group that I'm with here. I see Luke's over there. There's a group, another group that I'm in a ministry with up in Upper, that's Main Point. But I really want to thank these guys. Brian, come on over here. You belong over here. Jeff, you come over here. Come on over here, Rick. About 2 weeks ago, I couldn't even walk. I get up out of bed in the morning, I had pain the whole way through this knee. Anybody saw me walking around? I was walking around Doppelin. I mean, I was old man. I mean, cane time. Cane time, I'm a senior citizen. Rick got a hold of me. He said, we're having a Holy Spirit prayer night, which is you, Brian, you know, you guys got together. I said, guys, I said, pray for me. I said, I can't walk. I said, I'm having a real tough time. I don't know what's the matter with my knee. I said, it's just the whole way around the kneecap, behind the kneecap, was just that sore. I could barely walk. They went to prayer. Rick started calling me every day. He said, Darryl, he said, how you doing? I don't know if y'all know it, but I do work for Power Pro, so I deliver lawnmowers. Now, can you imagine crawling on and off lawnmowers on top of that? But Rick would call me every day. Hey, Darryl, how's the pain? Oh, man. You know, it's still there, Rick. But I'm going to tell you something. Prayer works. Because this morning I can sit up here and I can walk around. I don't have the pain. I have a little bit of pain that's about the size of maybe a nail right in the side. But that's it. As you can see, I'm up here walking around. I'm playing with these guys. 2 years ago, I would have never believed that. God is real. Ministries are real. Blowing Waters is real. Main Point is real. God is alive. God is good. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Darryl.
So there, I give you your advertising.
I'm going to end here in prayer, and then I'm going to give a little bit of a benediction for you. So let's just pray and close out here. Father, sometimes it's humbling to stand before you in all that you do for us every day, each day, whether it's healing us, whether it's feeding us, whether it's bringing us joy when we're down and depressed. Father, I could go on and on, but I just want to thank you and praise you that you are a God that does want the best for us. And Father, this morning, I just lift each person up who's here. Father, there is hundreds of ailments that are around us right now this morning. Father, we lift them all to you in Jesus' name, that whatever is happening in each person's life here, Father, this morning, they can take the words that we just sang and take them to heart and say they do have a river of life flowing out of them. And that is you, Lord Jesus, that is you. And we just thank you and praise you for what you are doing and what you're going to do. And we just continue to lift this church to you. Father, mold us, shape us to be the people that you want so that we can reach this community and build your kingdom right here in Bowmansville. Father, it's not one of us. It's going to take all of us. So I just pray, Father, that you just anoint us with the Holy Spirit and prompt each person to be able to do their part, to be able to use their gifts, their talents here in this community, Father. We thank you and praise you. Amen. And I leave you with this. In Joshua, this is something that Brian and I usually pray, or not pray, but we read before we go out to pray over people. In Joshua chapter 1, it says, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swear to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for your Lord God will be with you wherever you go." Amen, and go in peace.